This show furnished by Dual Diagnosis Treatment Center.
Welcome to In Your Right Mind, a weekly discussion of behavioral health issues that affect our lives. We all have issues, so let's start talking.
Welcome to In Your Right Mind, a weekly discussion of behavioral health issues that affect our lives. We all have issues, so let's start talking. My name is Stephanie Wilder-Taylor.
And I'm Dr. Tanmay Sharma.
Today, we're talking about the current healthcare system and how it seems to be failing a lot of families, including mine.
This evening, we are joined by Jay Horowitz and Jana. Jay is the founder and owner of Horowitz & Associates Insurance Agency in Kansas that helps keep premiums affordable and keeps people abreast of the changes in the industry. Stephanie, this show is about the issues of not being able to get insurance or insurance being too high. Some time ago, you and I talked about the challenges you and your family faced.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to do a show about this, in fact. Hi, Jay. Hi, Jana.
Hi.
Thanks for being on our show today. I'm basically a middle-income family. I have three children. And a few years ago, when my kids were really young, before Obamacare kicked in, I actually got denied insurance for one of my children. I couldn't get her health on my health insurance because she was born premature and was eligible in the future at some point to take growth hormones. And she wasn't on any medication, but they flat out turned me down for insurance. Luckily, Obamacare was about to kick in. So I had to wait about 6 months and then we were covered because there was no problem with pre-existing conditions. But through the years, my insurance premiums have skyrocketed. And now with what's going on with healthcare, I can't afford it. My regular insurance plan that I'm on, which is nothing great. It doesn't have amazing benefits. It tons of out-of-pocket expenses, but allows me to, it's a PPO plan, is going from $1,500 a month for our family to $2,000 to basically almost $2,100 for the same plan. And the lower plans don't cover anything at all. Is this what you're seeing all over the place? What is a family like mine supposed to do? And I'm really wondering, are people like me paying this?
Yes. So I'm going to talk first and then I'll have Jana interject. I'm okay. In the same boat you are. And please excuse my voice. Got a little laryngitis here with open enrollment. Anyhow, we're seeing this across the board. Premiums were low at one time, and the reason being is because the insurance companies had a right to underwrite policies. So with that in mind, that's why it was harder for everybody with pre-existing to get insurance, and the risk wasn't as bad for the insurance company. Now, the risk has become so great, because all the people who are signing up usually in these pools are very unhealthy people. So it's causing these insurance rates to go through the roof. I'm in the same boat you are. I suffer a form of multiple sclerosis, and my premium now on myself and my family here in Kansas is $1,800 a month for health insurance for a family of three.
Right.
So I think we're seeing this across the board. Also, the other problem is now with the industry the way it is, the competition has gotten bad. With the carriers, the big carriers, a lot of them are pulling out of the individual market. We used to have Coventry or Aetna in the individual market here in the Midwest. They left. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Missouri has left. Kansas Blue Cross has left the market in the individual side because of the losses from all the bad risk pool of unhealthy people. So,
can you explain, though, in a way that I can understand? Because a lot of this is simply going over my head. I know that they're somehow not getting funded, and I know that there was some change to the laws, but I don't understand. I can't understand. All I know is I got a letter in the mail saying, due to lack of funding, we had to raise our rates. So January 1, my rate goes up to $2,000.
I'll tell you a little bit about that. Basically, the rates are going up for several reasons. You know, one, obviously, if there's no competition, you can charge whatever you want. But the reason that they've gone up the way that they have gone up is you're covering pre-existing conditions, so their risk went up. There is no stop loss for the insurance company. So where you might have a maximum out-of-pocket that you have to pay, there is none of that on the insurance side. They used to write $3 million policies or $5 million policies. Now it's unlimited, and that's fine. You know, that's perfect. It's great that they're covering, but they're being asked to use 80 cents of every dollar on health claims or programs, etc. If they don't follow that rule, they have to give money back. So with that 20%. They need to run the company, advertising, marketing, office supplies, the coffee lady, absolutely everything. Try to make a profit. And, you know, if that's not the case, then if they don't only spend 20 cents of every dollar on that, they have to give the excess back. So that's one thing. Then the other thing is that the cost-sharing subsidies, basically what happens is the plans are divided into platinum, gold, silver, and bronze. The higher the metal, the more expensive the policy, but the lower the out-of-pocket expenses when you actually use the policy. So lower deductibles, lower co-pays, etc. And that is usually. But when the income is low enough, the government helps with a subsidy, and they also help with a subsidy for all of the out-of-pocket expenses on a silver plan. So Trump's executive order was that the cost-sharing subsidies were no longer going to be in place because those weren't actually passed by Senate, you know, so he could get rid of those. So that what happened was the insurance companies knew that that was going to happen, so they raised their rates in order to be able to cover that cost-sharing reduction themselves, you know, without help from the government. So that's why you're seeing... that's what they mean by lack of funding.
So let me ask you this, because so for my policy, it's we have a Blue Shield Silver plan, but the money, the out-of-pocket expenses, I just got a letter from my insurance company in perfect time to do this program, told me that all of the doctor's visits now go towards my out-of-pocket maximum. So what that means to me is that every month I pay $2,100 for my premium, and each person in the family has, let's say, a $2,000 out-of-pocket maximum. So that's another $10,000, right? So that's like we're talking like $35,000, because now every visit is out of my pocket.
No, basically, you know, what really that means is that absolutely everything you do, deductible, co-pays, co-insurance, is contributing to your out-of-pocket max. You probably only have two deductibles, even though you have, how many children did you say?
Three.
So it's three and you. So there's four of you, but there's really
only two adults. Two adults, me and my husband, and three children, yeah.
All right. So two adults and three children, deductibles to meet. And then, you know, your family out-of-pocket max. But everything that you pay, all your doctor's visits, any co-pay for medicine, any co-insurance, your deductible, all of that goes to your out-of-pocket max. Out-of-pocket max simply means the worst-case scenario. So you have an out-of-pocket max, you know, in the worst-case scenario in any given year, this is all that's going to come out of your pocket. However, the insurance company doesn't have an all that's going to come out of their pocket, and that's why they raise the rate so much.
Right.
There's a stop loss for you, but there's not a stop loss for them.
But if my income, here's what I think the big point that we're trying to get to is that my income is not low enough to get a subsidy, but the cost of the insurance is too much for us to afford. We can't afford $2,000 a month every month for insurance. So, and I know a lot of other families that are in a similar boat. What are people to do for insurance? Are people just not having health insurance?
But unfortunately, we're finding that in many cases, you know. And the other thing is that in the case, like, let's say a silver plan, you have a silver plan right now, someone with a much lower income than you might have the same silver plan. They're paying a tenth of what you're paying, yet they have no deductible, and their out-of-pocket max might be $900, $1,000 for the entire family, you know. So, you know, these are the things that people are very upset about and, you know, that are just not working. The solution is, you know, you can't go without insurance, but something needs to be done about the rates, absolutely.
If you're
a lot of people tell me that they wouldn't mind, you know, paying what they're paying, you know, which is horrendous already, if they got the same benefits that someone with a lower income had, you know? They
exactly.
Don't mind that they're paying a lot more, but
right.
They have a $10,000 deductible. And they're with the same plan, with a lower income, you know, has a $900 deductible.
Right, right. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know what? I just want to say that if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma, and we're obviously discussing recent problems with the healthcare industry and how people are losing their ability to afford decent healthcare. And we're speaking with Jay Horowitz, the founder and owner of Horowitz and Associates, and Yana Armstrong. So what's the answer? Where are we going with this?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it's the way things are right now. You know, what shouldn't be done, and it's something that's being proposed as part of tax reform, is taking away the mandate. Because unfortunately, what's going to happen if that's taken away, all the healthy people are going to flee the market. So it's going to be like even worse, you know. So that shouldn't happen. I think if they took away that 80-20 rule where the insurance companies have to use 80 cents out of every dollar on programs and try to run a company and make a profit with that other 20 cents, I think that would help because then they wouldn't see it as a business that's just not worthwhile. The insurance companies are fleeing, you know, so that's the huge problem. And if the mandate is eliminated, the risk goes up tremendously, and so do the rates.
Right.
So,
we need to go to a break really quick, but when we come back, we're going to break down how the coverage gap has continued to expand with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma and our guests Jay Horowitz and Yana Armstrong. You're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health. We'll be right back.
Don't lose sight on finding the best help for your son or daughter.
It was impossible, it seemed, to have him at home. We didn't know what to do. We were at a loss.
Sovereign Health's adolescent program offers treatment for males and females of ages 12 through 17 struggling with addiction, mental health, and co-occurring conditions.
Someone recommended Sovereign Health. We went down there and met the people, and that's what really did it for me. Everybody there seemed really not just kind. They didn't seem like they were there just punching the clock. They seemed like they were really caring about him. They cared about the dilemma that we were in.
Let us help you and your family heal in a safe, nurturing environment with an individualized treatment plan that has unique qualities and meets your loved one's treatment needs. Call Sovereign Health at 866-224-7297. That's 866-224-7297. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
We are back with In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. I'm Stephanie Wilder-Taylor. We're talking about issues with health insurance facing millions of American families with Jay Horowitz, who's the founder and owner of Horowitz and Associates, and Yana Armstrong from Helping Hands is on the line with us, too.
Both of you are at the coalface of getting people insured. getting them insurance. What are the challenges that you face more at the sort of individual level as you're getting them individual policies from across the country?
Well, some of the challenges have to do with income levels. You know, in some of the states, if the income level is not high enough to be able to afford a subsidy, you know, within the between 100% and 400% of the federal poverty level, you know, and they cannot get a subsidy, and they obviously cannot afford to pay full rate for the insurance. So that's a problem, you know, and they're in states that do not have Medicaid. The other problem that exists is if the income is too high, obviously they need to pay full rate, but the benefits are not going to be the same as someone who has lower income. They're going to have lesser benefits, less rich benefits. The other problem that we're finding is the open enrollment timelines are very, very narrow. So let's say that you are in the midst of treatment, and then all of a sudden you're on a plan, and your doctor decides that he's not going to take that plan anymore, and it's past open enrollment. You can't change. There's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it might, you know, set you back in your treatment. It might even cost you your life.
Yes.
So that's a huge problem.
Also, I'm going to jump in here. The other problem that we're finding when we're outside open enrollment, if you fall into the black hole and you can't get either or, the only option that we're finding for some people is to go to a short-term major medical. And the problem with the short-term major medical route is they limit, it is an underwritten policy, and these carriers turn around at that point and they say to you, well, we'll cover you for a lot less, but we're not going to pay for any pre-existing.
Right.
And it's a major medical plan, but they'll only insure up to 3 months at a time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's another issue.
We have a lay audience, and so I want to make sure they understand what this major medical plan is. So it's really a disaster plan in the sense of if there's a catastrophic event, that's
yes,
what it
but
covers.
There is one other thing I do want to interject, which a lot of people aren't aware of when they have kids that are going to college. For instance, in the state of Texas, we've run into a situation where Texas primarily is an HMO state, which means they don't have a lot of choices for health insurance. And if your child has now become age to go to college and they go to college out of state, unless your child is a resident, like if they go to Alaska and they're not a resident in Alaska and they have a plan in Texas and it doesn't have out-of-network coverage, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Years ago, this wasn't a problem. Now, since Obamacare started, it's a problem when your child goes to college out of state.
Right.
But because of Obamacare, aren't kids allowed to stay on the plan until they're 26?
Absolutely. But let's say your son's in college in Alaska and gets sick and has to go in the hospital, and you have Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas, and it's only an HMO.
Right.
And only covers in the state of Texas.
I wanted to I met somebody in one of our treatment centers a couple of days ago who was very worried that they're on a plan and this plan is going to not be available in 2018, that it's changing to an EPO or a HMO plan. They're on a PPO plan now. What do you do in things like this that we would encourage them to move carriers, or what? How are you addressing this issue?
Boy, that's a tough one, because we've got that problem now here in Kansas where we had PPOs and now it's EPOs. Unless they have a job or they work through an employer that provides them group insurance where they can pick up a PPO, or they're self-employed and they can get a group plan, because group insurance will give you that option generally to have a PPO if you become self-employed.
Right.
That would be one option.
Right. But it's
so expensive, by the way. Our family, we're incorporated, tried to go that route. The plans were crazy expensive for a group plan.
Right.
That's state by state.
And people are worried that, you know, they're on a plan now, and it happens, and the carriers have, I guess, their own right to do this. They offered a PPO plan, but in 2018, they're not offering a PPO plan. And so people are worried that they're in the middle of treatment, what would happen in 2018 as we go across. So,
well, the thing is if they're in the middle of treatment, they'll still have to switch over.
Right.
And
right.
The problem is a problem. I don't know. Johanna, do you have a good answer for that?
Yeah. Do they switch now? I mean, this is a practical issue. I'm sure a lot of treatment centers will also face the same issue, that they have people in treatment and open enrollment. I don't know. You know, it will probably be within the open enrollment period or not. I don't know what the dates are.
Well, so far, knock on wood, we've been lucky with a lot of our clients that are in treatment, that we haven't run out of the PPO.
Right.
But it's a bad situation because there isn't, some of the states don't have any options.
Right.
And as a EPO provider, some of the EPOs will give you some out-of-network coverage, but I have not seen any that really do a whole lot.
Okay. And
it's a problem. We don't have an option.
For our audience, can you outline what an EPO policy is?
Hang on one second. Let me just let people know, if they're just switching by. You're listening to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma and Jay Horowitz, the founder and owner of Horowitz & Associates, and we're talking about the coverage gap created by the Affordable Care Act. And Jay, you were just going to tell us about what an EPO plan is.
Yes, so an EPO is similar to an HMO. So it's called an executive provider organization. You still have a gatekeeper. So an HMO, which is a health maintenance organization, makes you have a gatekeeper, which is your primary care physician. That's what an EPO is. You have to go to your primary care physician. And under an HMO, he has to make the referral to a specialist. Okay. Under an EPO, you still have your primary care, but you have the option to pick and choose who you want to go to for your specialist. So that's basically the difference.
Mm-hmm.
The EPO gives you a little bit more freedom, but it's not like a PPO where you can pretty much go wherever you want and be out of network and still have coverage. Most EPOs do not provide out-of-network coverage. They're like an HMO. If you're out of state, they'll stabilize you, and you have to go back to your in-state provider.
Let me ask you a question. This might just be only interesting to me, but do people ever try to just get the cheapest plan at this point and then pay for the doctors they want out of their own pocket? I've been thinking that, I mean, my kids see a few different specialists, but it seems almost cheaper, instead of paying $2,000 a month, to just try to find a cheap plan. And then, you know, if the visit's $100 or two here and there, it's a lot cheaper than the $2,000 a month.
We're seeing a lot more people buying the bronze plans. People who are healthy, who are not concerned, they'll buy a bronze plan, because you got to remember, knowing whether you have a bronze or a silver, under the Affordable Care Act, all preventative care is covered immediately. So no matter what your deductible is, if you go to the doctor, you get a complete physical, a mammogram, a pap, a colonoscopy, anything routine, it's covered immediately, not subject to any deductible or copay. So that's really a smart way of doing it. If you're healthy, it's great. If you're going to buy a bronze, knowing that fact, and you're going to have high deductible, then I always recommend to my clients to have some kind of a wraparound, something similar to an Aflac plan, something that, God forbid, something catastrophic happens, you'll have something to offset the out-of-pocket, that large deductible that you'll be responsible for.
What do you mean by a wraparound plan? Can you explain that to someone like
yes,
me?
Absolutely. So under the bronze plans today, you can have a high deductible. You can be out of pocket $6,600 for an individual, or $13,000-$14,000 on a family. And that's if you go in the hospital. You know, a lot of people today just don't have that kind of money sitting in the bank to cover their out of pocket. So we would write something like Washington National. That's our company, like an Aflac. what they would do is, if God forbid you had a heart attack or a stroke or cancer or any kind of a major condition, you can buy these plans to write you a check for like $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in cash. You can then take that money, which is tax-free, and use that to offset your deductible and your out-of-pocket expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding a lot of employers will sometimes buy those plans and offer it within their group, and the employee can take it out with pre-tax dollars and it comes out with payroll. But we're selling more and more of these across the board to individuals, so they don't have that fear of having that catastrophic event and coming up with these high deductibles.
I'm going to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning today.
So it's
very, and they're very affordable. And what's nice about it, like for me with my illness, like it won't cover my MS, but I have the type of plan that at least gives me $300 a day every day I'm in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm in the hospital a week, which most people are in these days, $300 a day times seven, that's a lot of extra tax-free money in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, on these bronze plans with these deductibles, if you go to the emergency room, your kid breaks his leg playing a sport, and you go to the emergency room, it can cost a couple of $1,000 by the time they set it.
Right, right.
These wraparound plans have an accident rider. So, for instance, you go in the emergency room, the one that I have, you walk in, they'll give you $500, and they literally pay you $100 a stitch if you have to get stitches.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's really good.
These wraparound policies have become so popular. Now, we used to sell a majority of them, all different carriers. Now we've narrowed it down to one because I know now the one that I have pays the bills, pays the premiums. You know, as an insurance agent, it got to the point where we didn't have the time to spend on the phone fighting for money for our clients.
Right, right.
So now we just stay with one company that knows that we're going to get the bills paid and be done with it.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
This has
Jay,
been really helpful.
Yes, and unfortunately, I know that we're out of time with you two, but you've given us so much valuable information. I just want to thank you again. Thank you for joining us. That's Jay Horowitz, with the owner of Horowitz & Associates. And Yana, thank you, too, for joining our call.
Yeah,
we need to go to a break, but when we come back, we're going to hear two heartwarming success stories from patients who found hope through the Sovereign Foundation. You're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health. We'll be right back.
Want to get the latest information regarding mental illnesses, substance abuse, or more? Get hooked on Hook Sober, a group of sobers who have been hooked on updating you with the latest trends regarding behavioral health and addiction. Want to check them out? Just go to hooksober.com. That's HOOKEDSOBER.com. And get hooked, because recovery is possible in all cases.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Los Angeles area firefighters joined crews from as far away as Montana battling the fire edging into Santa Barbara today. The Skirball, Creek, and Rye fires are winding down near L.A. today, and some of the fire trucks, personnel, and support equipment is flowing west to Ventura and Santa Barbara. Meanwhile, the Thomas Fire threatening Santa Barbara is now one of the 10 largest fires in California history. It sent up a Hiroshima cloud this morning and was visible from western L.A. County. The Thomas Fire is split into two forks curving around Ojai, one moving uncontrolled west through the wilderness toward Lake Kachuma and Highway 154. The southern fork is burned along the foothills north of U.S. 101. Contributions to victims of the fire can be made through the United Way and Catholic Charities. Go to KABC.com. KABC SoCal weather tonight, mostly clear with lows in the upper 40s and 50s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Welcome back to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. I'm Stephanie Wilder-Taylor, and we've been discussing the difficulties facing Americans in getting good quality health insurance. But now we're joined by Stephanie, a patient who received life-saving treatment with the help of Sovereign Foundation.
Hi.
Hi, Stephanie.
How are you?
Welcome
nice
to the show.
Nice to meet you.
Tell us about why you were not able to get insurance or pay for insurance before Sovereign Foundation.
Essentially, I picked up a habit later on in life. In 2014, I started abusing heroin and meth. Ever since, it's been a constant struggle. I have been in treatment every year since. So 2015, 2016, and now 2017. Child Protective Services in my area has been in my life since 2015 as well. And essentially going to program and having continuous relapses, they, in all honesty, lost faith in me. And when, you know, the system and the county loses faith in you, your resources diminish. And so I was, you know, being funded through Child Protective Services and state-funded, you know, foundations, and, you know, that just disappeared in 2017. It wasn't available to me anymore.
So, how did you find yourself in at that point?
I reached out to a fellow addict who was in recovery. She was going to Sovereign here in Orange County. I called her at my lowest, most desperate point, and asked her for, you know, help and how she could, you know, direct me to where I needed to go. And she gave me Sovereign's number. I contacted them. They directed me to Foundations, which happened within 2 minutes of the phone call. And within 45 minutes, I was signing intake paperwork.
Wow.
And I was on a flight 30 days after.
So what was your life like between, I mean, you had been in treatment before, mm-hmm. and then you relapsed, and then
right.
you were in treatment again, and then you relapsed again. So I mean, I know from personal experience that when you go back to drinking, it's, you know, progressive.
Yes.
and drug use. So what was your bottom like? I mean, what were you feeling like? How desperate were you for help?
As desperate as it gets. This last year, the final year, my son was removed from my custody. The guilt and shame of that is what continuously was taking me back out into the lifestyle. And, you know, while I was still active in trying to recover, you know, relapse is very much a part of the process. And I just kept finding myself, you know, so sad and so miserable and so depressed that I would go out and I would put myself back into the lifestyle. I was, you know, living on couches. I was living in trap houses. I was not engaging with my child as much as I, as a parent should, as, you know, what the parent that I was when I first became a mother had completely disappeared. She was gone. And, towards the end, it was actually during one of my runs out on the streets that that I started calling programs and trying to find, you know, some kind of recovery for myself. But it was very ugly towards the end. I had had two near ODs. I remember sitting in the bathroom of you know, somebody's house I didn't even know, and I remember feeling the pulse, my heartbeat in my feet. I knew I was so close to not waking up again. And not being my son's mom.
That's frightening.
It was miserable.
So scary. And, I mean, what was that part of you, though, that still felt like reaching out, you know? What was that part of you that made you not give up? Was it your kid? Was it, like, just what
was
that?
I mean, becoming an addict so late on, you know, later in my life, I knew what it was like to be, you know, genuinely happy, living a normal life. And to my core, even at my very worst, I knew that that was still there. You know, I was still Stephanie. I was still this person that, you know, worked for banking industries. And, you know, I worked as a cage cashier at a local casino. I had really good work history, and I had, you know, I had a solid family and a foundation. And I lost that when I found opiates, you know, and all I wanted for myself towards the end was, even at my very lowest, even at my very worst, you know, knee deep in the addiction, the core of me wanted to get out as fast and as quickly as possible. And even though I was out there, I was still doing these little reach outs, you know, trying to suck up as much resources as possible.
But what did it feel like to know that you, that there was that part of you that wanted to get better, but know that insurance, that you weren't qualifying to go to treatment anymore?
It was overwhelming. It felt like there was nobody, you know, there was nobody that, you know, once you hit that point of junkie, once you hit that point of addict, you just lose your value, you lose your worth. And, you know, the places that are available to people who have no insurance are not places that have very good statistics as far as like recovery. You know, they don't, it's long time recovery, long term recovery.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it was just, it was overwhelming to know that there was a resource like Foundations, what they offer, what Sovereign offers. It's insane that was out there all that time. And I had never known about it.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health. And we're talking with Stephanie, who is basically a miracle. And she was an addict on the street, and she applied to Sovereign Health's foundation, Sovereign's foundation, and received treatment. And what's your life like today? What was it like when you came to Sovereign? What was different about this treatment than previous treatments?
I think I came in with really good motivation. I came in knowing exactly what I wanted for myself, and ended up matching up with a program that was able to give it to me. So I'm 27 days in treatment now. My everything is so balanced, you know, everything, you know, when I contact my family at home, my boyfriend at home, my son at home, you know, they can tell the change in me. You know, I just am so genuinely happy and blessed, and I'm alive today. You know, I'm not out there, I'm not worrying about the things that I was worrying about. I'm genuinely alive and happy to be.
Well, you seem super balanced and like somebody who's been in treatment for a couple of years. I mean, honestly, your eyes, you guys can't see her eyes, but very clear. You seem really clear. And what I'm so curious as to, so you get here, you what happened? I mean, you made the call, mm-hmm. and you did the intake. So you were living out here?
Yes.
So you didn't have to get on the plane?
No. Northern California.
Okay.
In Northern California.
So did they fly you out here?
Yes, I was flown out. In all honesty, the process happened so quickly that I felt like it was too good to be true. I felt like something was going to, you know, fall out. It worked out so well that it wasn't until I was on that plane that it was real and I was coming here.
So you've had treatment twice,
yes.
in the past. We've had a conversation before the show and you mentioned that. How is it different this time from your previous experiences?
In all honesty, I feel like I was doing it for other people. I was doing it for, you know, in fear that I was going to get my son taken away. I did it because I didn't want my mom to be scared anymore. I was doing it so that I could, you know, I could be what Child Protective Services or what my family or what other people needed me to be, you know, to be considered a fit mother again.
Right.
And
how is the treatment any different this time? What you've talked about is your motivation. Your motivation was external in the past, that it was more about not having a negative experience, which mm-hmm. is your child being taken away from you. But now, this time you're doing it because of internal motivation mm-hmm. rather than external factors. But in terms of treatment, is it any different now from the time that the two episodes of treatment you've had in the past?
Is it any different? The program in and of itself is completely different. I've never actually had a program that, you know, we have a center to, that we have the curriculum that we have. This is all, you know, I know exactly what I'm looking for going into it. You know, I knew that I wanted to find the best version of myself. I wanted to find my true self is what I came here for, because I feel like, you know, the drugs kind of stunted that, you know, And now I think I'm getting that. You know, I'm figuring out who I am. I'm figuring out what kind of mother I am. I'm learning how to reparent again. You know, things that I'm going to need to do to reunify back into the world. I'm learning that.
And Sovereign Health has aftercare. Yes. to keep supporting you. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, they do. They have outpatient programs. They have incredible services. I can't say enough about Sovereign.
You feel confident moving back into your life.
Yes.
Once you get released from treatment?
Mm-hmm. Within not even 30 days, and I completely feel I'm going to fulfill, you know, my entire time here, but I got so much in 30 days. By the time I get out 90, it's just...
Well, you'll stay as long as, I guess, there's medical necessity.
Right,
and
yeah.
The clinicians...
Your family must be so relieved.
They are. They absolutely are.
That just must be a nice feeling to talk to your son.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And I feel clear and excited about your future.
Yes, I get to FaceTime with him, and I get to see his face. He gets to see my face.
So if you hadn't been able to contact Sovereign Foundation, what do you think would have been the outcome?
I'm scared to even go there. I feel like I would not have made it much longer. The specific drug that I was on, opiates, the fentanyl that's rolling around, it was rolling around my community. And I literally had two times this past year that I was surprised I made it out.
We are glad for you.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you, Stephanie.
We need to
take one more break, but when we come back, we're going to have another patient who is able to receive life-saving treatment because of the Sovereign Foundation. I'm Stephanie Wilder-Taylor. You're listening to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Nearly half of all Americans experience at least one mental illness at some point in their lives. Sovereign Health offers treatment programs for a large spectrum of issues, including depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, and eating disorders. Let us help you heal in a safe, nurturing environment with an individualized treatment plan that has your unique qualities and meets your treatment needs. Call Sovereign Health at 866-224-7297. That's 866-224-7297. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com.
We're back with In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. I'm Stephanie Wilder-Taylor. We have been discussing the future of healthcare in California, but now we have another patient who received life-saving treatment through the Sovereign Foundation Scholarship Program. His name is Lemuel. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about how you came about to, you know, how did you contact Sovereign and what happened? What were your life circumstances? You've been a plumber.
Yes, I was a plumber. I was very successful. There was a rough patch. There was a rough patch, and I began to abuse alcohol and narcotics and became homeless.
Right.
And upon becoming homeless, experienced a great amount of trauma. I was already going through some trauma. That's why I began to abuse anyway.
This was a breakup of a relationship that
it was a tumultuous marriage.
Right.
Yes. Wow. Yes. It was tumultuous. I was broken. She was broken. And, you know, two broken people can't fix one another.
Right.
You know? Okay. Yeah.
And this is when you were working as a plumber?
I was working as a plumber. Yes.
And this was in Houston. Where was this?
Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas. Okay. And so you're in Houston, Texas. You're a plumber. By profession, the marriage is not going well. What were you doing? How were you coping?
I was coping by abusing alcohol.
Uh-huh. Okay.
For the most part.
Right.
And did things just go down quickly?
Of course. I was broken. I had no tools.
Mm-hmm.
So it was. I had no reprieve. I had no recourse. I didn't know what to do. My support system was non-existent.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, it was terrible.
So you were using drugs, you were drinking, and then you became homeless after your marriage broke up?
Yes. Yes, I became homeless.
And then you were living on the streets.
Living on the street and became a missing person for 9 months.
Wow.
Yes. I went into a dark hole.
And in any of that time, did you get any help, any treatment?
Help came in the unlikeliest of forms. Right. Help came with being homeless. You run across all shades and colors of people,
mm-hmm.
and personalities. And some of those guys and women that I've encountered on my journey were like, you can get yourself back. You don't belong here. Why are you getting high?
Right.
They saw something in me that I could not see in myself.
So were you getting any treatment for drugs and alcohol?
None.
So what happened? Like, what made you reach out to try to find some help?
So after being homeless missing for 9 months and being homeless the majority of that time as well, it was a crazy set of circumstances. I met a young lady and I took her car and went missing for 3 days. Well, she wanted to find out more about me. She jumps on the internet and through Facebook found my brother that no one had knew anything about me for 9 months. She knew my name, which, yes. So she knew my name and found my brother on Facebook through using my name,
mm-hmm.
contacted him. He was elated to hear my voice, blah, blah, blah. And through that, he reached out to my sister, which my sister is a drug and alcohol counselor in Fort Bend County. And she immediately came to get me. I was hiding out in Beaumont, Texas at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And she came and picked me up all the way from Sugar Land.
And they wanted to get you into treatment?
And wanted to get me into treatment. And that's how I ran
across. But you didn't have insurance, I'm assuming.
I did not.
Sister and brother couldn't help you?
No.
So how did they know, who did they reach out to, and how did they come to Sovereign?
Well, with her being a drug and alcohol counselor, mm-hmm. which I had no idea, you know.
What a weird stroke of luck.
I know, right? That saved my life. She said, well, do you want help? I said, sis, I'm done. I'm tired. I've been tired. I reached out for help, but the insurance thing was tricky.
Right, right.
To find help. So she reached out to a coworker who gave her the number to Sovereign, and then the sun began to shine.
What happened?
I called the number. I spoke with someone that worked with Sovereign, very professional young man. I have his name written down somewhere, and he asked me a series of questions, which I later found out was like a pre-assessment
mm-hmm.
type of deal. And we had a conversation, and after that, and said that he would give me a phone call, and that's what happened, and you know the rest is like history, as they say.
So the foundation helped you.
The foundation helped me. Yes. He asked me, did I have insurance, and I was like, no. And at the time, I was unemployed as well, so no insurance and unemployed. So yeah, he began to explain to me that hey, we've got these scholarships that you can go and get treatment, and I was like, wow, amazing.
That must have seemed like a miracle.
Yes, which I had encountered several, and that being one, that's correct.
You know, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma, and we are talking to Lemuel, who is a recipient of the Sovereign's Foundation, getting treatment. And so can you take us to what happened? So you get you talk to Sovereign, they mm-hmm. say you're getting treatment, and then what?
Well, he was like, we have an opportunity for you. And, you'll come out to California. Do you mind relocating?
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all, because of the dire situation that I was in.
Right, from homeless.
Yes.
Not really.
So I knew it was a matter of life and death.
Right.
And if I had gotten a Sovereign, then the other option would be death, most likely. So Sovereign represented life. So I jumped on a plane and we flew out here, and the experience has been amazing thus far.
So what happened, and how was treatment for you? I mean, what was the first day? Did you know that your life was going to change?
No, I reserved to have any expectations. I just went off of the encouragement from my brother, which mm-hmm. lives in Northern California. He was pivotal in the search for his little brother. And his advice to me was, go there and dive in.
Such good advice.
And it was advice that I heeded since, you know, I'm very coachable. So it's advice that I heeded. So upon going to detox, was one of the first houses, I met some incredible staff. And they genuinely cared. The ones that I came in contact with genuinely cared. And then I moved on and began to learn all of these tools. And as I like to describe it, I began to put tools in my toolbox in order to be successful.
Mm-hmm. How did you know that it was working? Was there a moment where you were like, oh, my gosh, my life is saved?
Yes, when my thinking began to change, when I no longer thought the same, where I actually felt hope, where there was hopelessness, hope began to override the hopelessness.
Was there any like specific moment? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I just know like from my own recovery, just like, was there a moment like sitting in a meeting or having therapy where you were like, I'm going to get better?
Well, there are several moments. Every time I go to group with the staff that they have, the ones that I've encountered, they're a special set of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and since I dove into the program, I'm getting exactly what I'm putting in is what I'm getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So my moments are every day. My moments, I may have several different moments throughout that day, because it's a process of growth and understanding yourself and understanding what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
In inside of my mind during the depressive state that I was in abusing alcohol and drugs.
Right. And what do you think your life would be like if you were still out there?
Darkness, misery, despair, incorrigible, and ultimately death.
Right. So Sovereign basically saved your life.
Yes, indeed. And that's probably an understatement.
What are your plans?
My plans now are day-to-day, number one. Mm-hmm. Day-to-day, take one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But have a general idea of what you want to do. So the outpatient program is looking very promising for me, that's part of my plans.
And obviously, as I was saying before we got on the air, your voice is pretty amazing. You have a voice
for
radio.
Thank you. That is awesome. I really appreciate that. Thank
right?
you.
I'm thinking new career for this guy.
Oh, right. Yeah. From plumbing to...
Snake and drains or talking on the radio?
Oh, wow. What a change of events that would be.
Yeah. Why not? Being the latest DJ in Sovereign Media.
Awesome. I have to say, Dr. Sharma, you should be proud of yourself for having these scholarships. And I mean...
Yes. Yes.
Where else, as we were talking about at the beginning of this show, we're talking about just how hard it is to get insurance and, you know, not just for people like you that are homeless, but just for people, you know, living and working and having insurance. It's really hard to get treatment and to get care.
That is very correct.
Well, the fact that we can make a difference in people's lives, not just the saving of a life, but the fact that we can reintegrate people back into society. There are some programs, I don't know if you have been involved in the Next Step. In the Next Step program, there's resume building. We're preparing people for the job market. There are several people. I think we had Cornelius here.
Yes, we did.
A success story.
Love him.
He's actually finished the KDAC alcohol and drug counseling course.
Awesome.
He came in as somebody who was really down and out and is leaving the program, if you like, as a counselor. So this is how you can, you know, it's not about treating just the addiction. It's looking at how can we get somebody back on track and make them productive members of society. And
right.
The fact that I was able to, you know, the entire staff at Sovereign, I don't do this. I conceptualize things and have ideas and visions. So I guess it's the entire staff at Sovereign that one needs to be grateful for. But it's
indeed.
A wonderful story.
And I make a point to tell them.
Yeah, no.
Doesn't it make you wonder if more people had access to treatment, if we would have so many more success stories?
We are in the middle of an epidemic. We need to do what we can.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. But I want to thank everyone out there so much for listening. And I really want to thank you, Lemuel, for coming in and sharing your beautiful story with us.
Thank you.
And
for
I want to thank Stephanie, and we had Jay and Yana. And don't forget to tune in next Sunday at 5 p.m. for a new episode of In Your Right Mind. And if you like what you hear, you can download this edition of In Your Right Mind as a podcast by going to iTunes or visit inyourrightmind.com to hear this show or previous broadcasts. We will see you next week.
Good night.